Shantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru in Gauranga.
So we're hoping this works. I still have a cough and a congestion, but see what happens.
Narayanam namaskritya.
Narang
chaiva narottamam. Devim sarasvatim vyasam. Tato jaya mudiriyet.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadev, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, and our spiritual master.
Nashta prayesha badreshu,
nityam bhagavata sevaya,
Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki.
By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in the best of songs, is established as an irrevocable fact.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
On this fifth day of April 2007, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, text number 39.
Yat.
Sevaya
shesha
guhashaya
swarat
vipra priyas
tushyati
kamam
ishraha
tad eva
tad
dharma
parar
vinitai
sarvatmana
brahmakulam
Nishevyatam
Yat
Sevayashi
Shagohasha
Yasvarad
Viprat
Priyas
Tushyati Kamam
Ishwaraha
Tadeva
Tad Dharma
Paravinitai
Sarvatmana
Brahmakulam
Nishevyatam
Yat
sevayashe
shaguhashe
yakswarad
Vipra
priyas
tushyati
kamam ishwaraha
Tadeva
tad dharma
paravinitai
Sarvatmana
brahmakulam
nishevyatam
Yat
sevayashe
shaguhashe
yakswarad
Vipra
priyas
tushyati
kamam
ishwaraha
Tadeva
tad dharma
paravinitai
Sarvatmana
brahmakulam
nishevyatam
Sarvatmanam
brahmakulam
nishevyatam
Yat
sevayashe
shaguhashe yaksvarad
Vipraprayastushyati kam ishvaraha. Eva tannama paravinitai. Tavatmanam brahmakulam nishevyatam. Tadeva tannama paravinitai. Sarvatmana brahmakulam nishevyatam. Deveyashe shukuhashe yatsvara. Yat sevayashe shukuhashe yakswarad viprapriyastushyati kamam ishvaraha tat eva tandama paravinitai. Ladies. Yat sevayashe shukuhashe yakswarad Vipraprayastushyati kamam ishvaraha. Tadeva tandama paravinitai. Vatmanam brahmakulam nishevyatam. Yet, whose? Sevaya, by serving. Ashesha, unlimited. Guha Ashaya, dwelling within the heart of everyone. Swarat, but fully independent. Viprapriyaha, very dear to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Tushyati, become satisfied. Kamam, of desires. Ishvaraha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tat, that. Eva, certainly. Tat dharma parai, by following in the footsteps of the Lord. Vinitai, by humbleness. Sarva Atmana, in all respects, Brahmakulam, the descendants of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Nishevyatam, always being engaged in their service. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everlastingly independent and who exists in everyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. For he, the Lord, is always dear to Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everlastingly independent and who exists in everyone's heart, is very pleased with those who follow in his footsteps and engage without reservation in the service of the descendants of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. For he is always dear to Brahmins and Vaishnavas, and they are always dear to him.
report. It is said that the Lord is most pleased when he sees one engaged in the service of his devotee. He does not need any service from anyone because he is complete, but it is in our own interest to offer all kinds of services to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These services can be offered to the Supreme Person not directly, but through the service of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings Chadya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payeche Keba, which means that unless one serves the Vaishnavas and Brahmins, one cannot get liberation from the material clutches. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says Yasya Prasarad Bhagavat Prasada. By satisfying the senses of the spiritual master, one can satisfy the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, this behavior is not only mentioned in scriptures, but also followed by acharyas. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens to follow the exemplary behavior of the Lord himself, and thus engage in the service of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Om Jnanatamarandasya Jnanandana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmiditam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and to all members of Sri Parampara. So Maharaj Prithu is instructing the citizens. And he began his instructions by explaining that he's also dependent on them for their good behavior. Remember that the king or the leader is charged with engaging everyone in their duties according to varna and ashram, and also engaging them in the service of the Lord. So if the citizenry are sinful, if they're not engaged in this way, then the leader also has to partake of some of the sinful reactions of the populace. So it's frightening to think of what the future of our present leadership is in these United States. Not just the United States, but all over the world. So many people are not following the principles of Shastra, and they're sinning very freely and very extremely. And so it's a very dangerous situation. So the point made here, and following the previous verse, which is this amazing statement that the Lord has gotten his fame by serving the lotus feet of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. So this calls to mind, and it was also referred to yesterday, a nice class by Surya Prabhu, of the pastime of Durvasa and Muni Ambarish Maharaj and Lord Narayan. And so I'd like to just again focus on a couple of those statements by Lord Narayan to Nirvasa in reference to the Lord's relationship with Brahmins and Vaishnavas. His first statement when Nirvasa comes and prays to him to take away his own weapon of the chakra, which was tormenting Nirvasa. Now, it's interesting to note, before we go on, the contrast between King Ambarish's reaction to a personal threat and Durvasa's. If you recall, Durvasa, when he had engineered this so-called insult of the king partaking of food or partaking of repast before the guest, and he took great umbrage at that. That Ambarish had simply drunk water to break the Ekadashi fast. There was no real offense, but he took great offense. And so then he created this Kritya, which is a female fiery demon from hair through it, and it was approaching Maharaj Ambarish, who was standing there very humbly, wanting to serve his guest. And what was Ambarish's reaction? Nothing. He didn't flinch. He simply took it as the Lord's mercy. If he was destined to be burned at that moment, then let it happen. Just imagine the presence of mind, the detachment, and the transcendental quality of that consciousness that when threatened with fire, he didn't flinch. It's almost an instinctual thing, isn't it? If you touch something hot, you don't think about it. The hand just immediately comes off, isn't it? It's practically, and here he was just ready to be burned to a crisp. Of course he wasn't. He was saved by the chakra. And it's the same threat. The chakra is also burning and threatening, but Durasa didn't have that detachment. And he ran, you know, and all over the universe, eventually coming to Vaikuntha. He was so powerful a yogi. Now, what was Lord Narayan's immediate statement? Aham bhakta paradhino yasvatantra ivadvija sarubhir grasta vidyo bhakta bhakta janapriya. This is a very famous verse. Aham bhakta paradhino means I am not independent. Yasvatantra. I'm not independent. I am completely dependent on my devotees. They have grabbed on to my heart. They have me in their heart, and I have them in my heart. And that's the next statement, which was quoted yesterday. Sadubhir grasta vidyo bhakta bhakta janapriya. And so these devotees and those who are devotees of my devotees, and that brings to mind the present verse, are very dear to me. And indeed, they control me with their love. You remember the statement by Lord Brahma when he offered his prayers, the famous verse, Jnani priyasam udapasya namanta eva. Lord Brahma, who is the most intelligent and most learned of all demigods, he is Brahma, he's Vidhi, he has all the Vedas, he has four heads. He is saying that he cannot understand little Krishna standing before him. And that he advises that one give up the effort to acquire some kind of material knowledge. Jnani priyasam, it's great effort. Lifetime after lifetime, cultivating this impersonal knowledge, or what to speak of, material knowledge. You go to UCLA library, right? Millions of books piled high. You've got the whole internet. You see? There's unlimited knowledge. And he says, give it all up. Give up the great effort to it. And what's the solution? Well, then what should one do? Jivanti sanmukaditam bhavadiya vatam. It says one should Gyane Piyasana Pasyana Mantaheva Jivanti Sandugatam Bhavadiyavatam Stane Stita Shutigatam Tonavan Manobhi Ye Prayasho Ajita Jitopi Sitai Strilokyam. So if one gives up this effort at mundane knowledge or impersonal knowledge, trying to understand the Supreme through one's intellectual prowess, and what should simply serve, offer one's obeisances to, and hear the words emanating from the lotus mouth of the pure devotees. San mukaditam bhavadiya vartam. Varta means news. It means descriptions of Krishna's activities, his forms, qualities, his instructions, his service, his devotees. That's all vartam, bhavadiya vartam. And you don't have to leave home. You don't have to take sannyas. You don't have to change your position. Just add this process. Shuddhi gatam. It's the path of hearing. Tanovan, and then one can, Tanovan Marom is serving with one's mind, one's voice, and with one's body. In other words, one has to listen and hear and absorb with this shushushubish quality. Means submissive oral reception. Remember that famous phrase if you read Prabhupada's books. This shushushubi means with the mind clear and taking the words into the heart, ready to activate, ready to serve the words and the instructions. So therefore, then with the body, one serves the instructions of the pure devotee, which are nothing but the instructions of Shastra, and one contemplates them, reflects upon them, and tries deeply to understand. So Tanuvan, and repeats. This is how one serves those words. Then what's the result? The wonderful result is one can conquer the unconquerable Lord. Krishna is unconquerable. Brahma found that out by his personal experience. Even with all of his mystic power, he couldn't conquer Krishna. He was bewildered. He was humbled. So the same idea is here, that by their love, the pure devotees, the sadhus, control Krishna. He feels control, just like Mother Yashoda was able to control Krishna. Not by the ropes, the tethers of the cows that she tied, but really by the ropes of her love. So therefore, Durvasa Muni could not get any relief. Narayan said, I'm not free to recall my chakra because you have offended, deeply offended, threatened to kill my great devotee Ambarish. You have to go back down to him and get his pardon, and then you'll be relieved. So this is the same idea is being expressed now in a little different form by Maharaj Prithu. He is asking that his citizens will be very careful to serve the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. Any society that is not under the guidance of Brahmins, Brahminical culture, who are, after all, conduits, if you will. Nowadays, you use the channeling, but we don't use that term. But they're conduits. Prabhupada used the term via media, or medium, right? Mediums for the instructions of Krishna through the Shastra. I wrote down these 12 qualities of the Brahmins. Of course, the most important quality is that they're devotees. Any so-called Brahmin that is not a devotee is a Brahmin in name only. But they have these 12 basic qualities. We all have the qualities from the Bhagavad Gita. But here in the seventh canto, in the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisimhadev, there's a nice little footnote that gives us the 12 basic qualities. So they include following religious principles, speaking truthfully, controlling the senses via austerity and penances, non-jealousy, in other words, not being jealous of anyone's material wealth or fame or anything else, being intelligent, tolerant, having no enemy, means that some may regard you as an enemy. The demons always regard the Vaishnavas, what to speak of Vishnu himself, as an enemy. But the Brahmin himself has no enmity toward anyone. He sees the spiritual nature of everyone, and he always tries to do good to all. Performing yajnas, sacrifices, chief of which is, especially this age, Sankirtan yajna. Giving charity. The idea is that the Brahmin can accept charity, but at the end of the day, he's given it all away, and he's back to practically nothing left. Just what he needs to live very simply. That's the idea. So that's what dana and pratigraha, accepting and giving. Being steady in mind and in his determination. Being well-versed in the Vedic literature. And observing various vows. These are the 12 qualities of a real Brahmin. So Brahmin Vaishnav. Brahmajana titi Brahmana. It is said, janmana jayate shudra. Samskarat bhaved dvija, vedapatat bhaved vipra, brahmajanatiti brahmana. In this age, everyone is born a shudra. Even if you're born in a Brahmin family, you're not necessarily qualified. You have a good chance of being Brahmin, but you have to undergo these reformatory practices. Sangskara. By sangskara, you become twice born. But only by studying the shastra do you become a vipra. But only by knowing Brahman, in other words, the supreme Brahman, Krishna, do you really become a Brahmana. So a true Brahman must be a Vaishnava, and a true Vaishnava must be a Brahman, because Brahminical qualities should naturally develop and undergird one's development of his Vaishnava consciousness or Krishna consciousness. So that's why we find in the Bhagavad Gita and in all of our Shastra, there are so many instructions for being clean, for being self-controlled, for being austere. You see, these are Brahminical qualities that are also integral to a true Vaishnava culture. So now, Maharaj Prithu. Now, Maharaj Prithu is the original king. So you can see how important it is to have a leader who is guiding the society in such a way that people get a good example. When you have a leadership that is a criminal, that is mendacious, you see, the whole society goes to hell. Prithu, that was Prithu's grandfather, wasn't it? Or was Prithu's his grandfather, was it Vena? Vena was like that. He was incorrigible. From his very childhood, he was playing with his friends, and then he would push them into the lake and drown them. He would, it's horrible. And so the father, Anga, eventually just left home out of disgust. And so Vena, the Brahmins at that time, they were in a dilemma, because to have no king is worse. It is also a problem, because then the thieves and the dacoits come out and they create havoc. We've had experience here. I remember it was 1992. when suddenly the riots started, right? And everyone got a chance. All right, you know, now let's break into Best Buy and grab the TVs and everything like that. There's a tremendous kind of undercurrent of lawlessness in the people. And it's only because they fear the punishment of the police and things like that they more or less keep them. But when they see an opportunity, then they come out. So if there's no police, if suddenly people understood, the government is on vacation, you know, and we have no problem. Okay, let's riot. You know, let's take what we want. So that was happening. And so they had to create another king. So, but Vena was worse. So they got rid of Vena. And then they churned his thighs, remember, in order to come. Pritu and Archie came out. So there was a lot of reforming to be done. Remember, the earth had stopped giving its grains because Vena was such a rascal. And Prithu had to chastise the earth. That's another part of the story we read already. But he's performing the most important function of the king. King must protect. He must protect the populace from danger. We remember from First Canto how King Parikshit, when he found Kali personified, tormenting the bull and the cow, he was ready to annihilate that false king in the form of Kali, in order to protect the Dharma, in order to protect the populace. So King Prithu is doing that, but he also needs to instruct. He needs to protect their eternal life, their spiritual life as well, by encouraging them to, and instructing them to follow the principles of Daivi Varnashram. Varnashram has no meaning unless it's focused on the service of the Lord. Atak pumbir dvida shresta varnashrama vibhagashaha. Right at the beginning of Bhagavatam, second chapter, Suta Goswami is instructing the sages, and he talks something about, a little bit about Varnashram. But nicely performed, su anustitasya, if everyone is doing their nice duties according to Varna and Ashram, but the perfection is to please Hari. In other words, it's done in the service of Krishna. So this is part of the king's duty. Now, especially again, we can find this is the opposite side of what we learned just a few days ago, the danger of offending the Vaishnavas and the Brahmins. On the other side, the glory and the great benefit of serving the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. So we have a great opportunity in a community of Vaishnavas to find service. First of all, we should know who is it proper to be eager to hear from. This is another point, is that in Krishna consciousness, there's a whole understanding of a hierarchy. Just like we offer our obeisance before we speak, Om Agyanata Madandasya, I was born in the darkness of ignorance, right? And so much of our morning program is in honoring Srila Prabhupada and the whole parampara, understanding that we're part of a whole line, and that there are these great souls who come before us. So honoring them means primarily hearing from them and trying to serve their words. They make a little personal service, but he's more anxious that we chant Hare Krishna and become Krishna conscious and that we spread Krishna consciousness. This is the ardent desire of all true acharyas in our line. And you can see that this whole movement, the engine of this movement, is the preaching, is the giving of the word, the pure word of the acharyas, by trying to be pure ourselves and also to give it out through books and also personally and by our very behavior. So this means that in our community, we're meant to serve each other in primarily by uplifting each other. There's so many ways we can help each other be Krishna conscious. Just by coming to the morning program, you know, it's very subtle the way a society works. But everyone took the trouble in this room to come and to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, regardless of who's giving the class. You know, it's not like, well, who's on deck today? Okay, I like him, don't like him. Okay, I won't come, you know. Prabhupada wanted us to come and hear Bhagavatam. The most important part of the class is just chanting the verse, reading the translation, hearing the purport. That's the most important part. I always feel. So we all come together to hear Prabhupada, right? And to do what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do, which is to hear Bhagavatam, to discuss, right, and in this way to advance toward the perfection of devotional service, pure love for Krishna. Because Bhagavatam itself is Krishna in word form. And we know that there's a book Bhagavat and a devotee Bhagavat. And both must be served. The book Bhagavat is the Srimad Bhagavatam, as presented by the pure devotee. And the person Bhagavat is someone who is leading his life according to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So those are the devotees that should we be especially eager to associate with and serve. It's right there in the nectar of instruction. One should be very greedy for the association of those devotees and to hear from them and serve them in the shushushaya mood of those who are always hearing and chanting and who are free from the propensity to criticize others. Think about it. You see? Those who really have the clarity of heart and who are have attained this brahminical quality of having no enemy. It is so important to clear one's heart of grudges and the sense of enmity. This is my friend, this is my enemy. Study the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to his friends. So much of it is in going against this idea of friends and enemies. Even to his father, so courageously he taught. Because the whole demonic enterprise is, this is my friend, this is my enemy. This so-called friend of mine, right, I can exploit, you know, and the enemy I can conquer and take whatever he has. The whole thing is a mode of passion vision, right, of making distinction according to race, according to clan, according to family. You see, all of that is part of the demonic vision. The devotee vision, the transcendental vision beyond the modes of nature, is to see everyone equally, samadarshana. This is part of the equality of a Brahman, Vaishnava. And see everyone spiritually. Now, how we associate with everyone depends on their nature, on their quality. We know the Madhyamadikari is meant to make a distinction between the Lord, the devotees, the innocent, and the envious. For the Lord, he tries to cultivate love and devotion. Right? For devotees, he tries to cultivate friendship. Friendship means give and take, service. For the innocent, it tries to enlighten and bring them into the family of devotees. And for the envious, he avoids. Right? He avoids. This is the Madhyama Adhikari platform. Very important platform to come to. This is the platform of the preacher. There's so many innocent people out there. They may not be, you know, totally innocent in the sense that they're not committing sin. They may be very sinful. But they have the good quality of not being consciously envious of God and his devotees. They're just victims. They're victims and they're headed for a great suffering and they're in the middle of great suffering. So such people, many of whom, I was like that, right? We're all like that at one point. What do we know of Krishna? Maybe there's a few here who are raised in Krishna consciousness, but very few. But we were blessed by the emissary from the pure devotee, somehow giving us the beginning thread of devotional service, the book, most important, the invitation, the smile, a little friendship. Let me check it out. You see? So that is the mood of the devotee. And there's no limit to how many people we can find like that who are eligible to begin their devotional life in this way. So this is the mood that Prithu Maharaj is trying to cultivate in the praja. He says, serve each other. Serve the Vaishnavas. Serve the Brahmins. In this way, you become purified. Save me from degradation because you'll be doing the right thing. You know, he's appealing to them on that level. The real king is a servant. The real superior is a superior because he feels the need to serve those who are under him. We find that in Prabhupada himself felt that way. Bhaktisiddhanta himself felt that way. Such exalted souls. But they took such great effort and austerity, risking their life, really. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta risked his life so many times as preaching. You know, there were conspiracies to kill him. Srila Prabhupada, because of his ill health, you know, he just kept traveling, didn't care. Out of service, the service mood. Serving Krishna by serving the devotees. Actually, that paradigm is always there. So, and in that mood, you're kind of immune. If you're really in that mood, you're immune from aparad. This was mentioned earlier, but it's worth repeating, is that we need a strategy to avoid the danger of aparad. Because Vaishnava aparad definitely takes a huge chopper to your creeper, you know. And you find, if you're not careful, that, I have no taste. What happened to my taste? I'll tell a little vignette, because it happened right here. I remember sitting right on this stairway. We go back about 32 years. I was a resident here in New Dwarka at that time. And we had many bhaktas, like we have today. And this one bhakta, who I had a little relationship with, I was teaching him some things. And he had an altercation with another bhakta. And it got physical. I don't know if he punched him or threw him down or something, you know. And after that, you know, it kind of, you know, it was disturbance and so forth. But he was still allowed to stay. You know, there was some kind of reconciliation. But he then complained to me. He's sitting on the stairs here. He says, now suddenly I don't feel like I want to chant. I don't have any taste. What happened? You know. I said, you offended this Vaishnav. You know, it's not just a question of initiated devotee. Everyone's a Vaishnav in this community. You have to go and beg forgiveness. You know, we knew that philosophy. It's for that devotee himself. And then you can get your taste back for chanting and hearing. You know. Somehow or other, he couldn't bring himself to do it. And he left. You know, I don't know what happened to the devotee. So we may have had some experience of that ourselves. That the most precious thing we have, we forget that. The most precious thing we have is just our desire to be devotees, the desire to chant, desire to get up today, you know, on this particular day, and go through the routine of devotional service. We shouldn't take that for granted. That's a tremendous gift. How many people in this city of 10, 15 million, whatever it is, in greater LA, have that impetus to do that? A precious handful. So we have to preserve that. And it's endangered. It's definitely endangered by Vaishnava aparad. So the antidote to Vaishnava aparad is Vaishnava glorification and Vaishnava seva. You see? And it opens the heart, and Krishna feels pleased. Krishna is pleased. He says in many places like that. And then everything else about Krishna consciousness becomes so much more enlivening. A kirtan, you know, with many devotees who you have a relationship, not just you're serving them or they're serving you, you have a warm relationship with. It's such a wonderful thing to hear and chant and just be with the deities. You know, this is life. This is the elixir of Krishna consciousness. Whereas on the other hand, if you walk into a group of devotees, said, he did this to me before, you know, what am I going to do with him? And I did that to him, so maybe he's going to feel this way, you know what I mean? And you have all of this, and you can't open up to your Krishna consciousness. You see the difference. So this is on a mini level. On a macro level, the whole kingdom for Prithu, he wanted it to be, and it was. It was just like a big temple, you know, a big ashram. And it was because he's empowered. He's got the Pala Shakti. He's the Shaktivesh. And he shows by example how to be a great king. So all of these are important lessons for us. How to avoid offenses and how to positively cultivate relationships. And we need to be able to see, you know, where we should really covet, you know, the relationship with someone. You know, we can get some good service in, you know. When sannyasis come, you know, tomorrow I think Roman Padmaraj will be here. You know, the first service they want is just attentive hearing. Practically speaking, that's the most important thing, you know. And if he sees that, you know, the temple is filled with devotees just as it is now, I'm sure he'll be very happy to just pour forth realizations. And he's just coming off of that japa retreat, so we can look forward to hearing some very nice glorification of the holy name. So that's basically what I have today. I was asked to give a poem. So I have one little verse I can share with you, very appropriate to this. Kapiladev Muni, he also teaches this basic point of serving the sadhus. Remember, his mother comes to him and she says, "Oh, my senses are giving me so much trouble. You are my son in both ways, right? You are my actual son, and you are the light of the sun that can enlighten me. And, you know, also, please help me." So he begins by pretty much in the first chapter there, The Glories of Devotional Service, by glorifying the sadhus and how important it is to serve the sadhus rather than to serve one's senses. She's saying her senses are giving her so much trouble. So this nice verse that Mahatattva Prabhu had helped me to focus on a few months ago. Pasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sarashikato mokshadvaram apavatam. Mundane affection keeps us tied to birth and death infernal. But love for sadhus opens wide the doors to life eternal. Well, there you have it. There's my little poem today. So if any of you have any questions or comments, we could entertain them at this time. Yes. Savasprabhu.
I was just wondering, why couldn't the chukka get him like right away? How is it that he was able to flee from the chukka?
I'm sure the chukka could get him right away if he wanted to. The whole thing was the lesson, you know, was important. Devasa is actually a great soul. I mean, he's a plenary expansion of Shiva. Yeah. And he needed to be reformed, not to be annihilated. And the whole lesson of going up there and everything like that. By the way, we don't paint him like that, but there's some indication Durvasa means, his clothes are difficult to get. Namely, he's also naked. So you can, like these sages, sometimes they go around naked. Anyway, anything else?
Yeah, when he was running from the chakra, was he running in what, in the subtle body or actual body? I mean, how was he fleeing?
I don't remember any indication of that. I mean, he was such a powerful yogi. Even Vrikasha was able to get up to Vaikuntha. I mean, it seems that he was able to go as Durvasa Muni, you know, to all of these different, he went to Shiva Loka, Brahma Loka, whatever. And if I recall, he's just Durvasa. I'm sorry? Vrika. You remember Vrika, Asura? He also chased Shiva all the way up to Vaikuntha. And then Vishnu and also tricked him into knocking his head off. Shvetadrip. Right. Right.
It's possible that he could just go in his...
Go to...
he could go in his physical body and do what he had to do and then come back here. Rather than going beyond, you know, through the seven layers and all that,
right,
across the Vajjayanti River, it doesn't necessarily mean he had to go through that trip.
Could be. I frankly forget whether it describes him going through that.
It doesn't describe that he went through all of those.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Bhakta Padadhino.